Blood on the River by Elise Carbone. Chapter 23. Quote, "What will it avail you to take that by force you may quickly have by love, or to destroy them that provide you food? What can you get by war when we can hide our provisions and fly to the woods, whereby you must famish by wronging us, your friends?" End quote. Chief Powhatan, quoted in William Simmons in the Proceedings. Page 186. If trouble can multiply like rats in grain, then that is what our troubles do in 1609. By midsummer, Captain Smith sends word to the Warraquoyoac village that we are to return to Jamestown. A ship has arrived, so there is food. There is also much work to be done. You need to build houses for the new colonists. When I get to Jamestown, I am stunned by what I see. The Virginia Company has not only sent men, but families with women and children. Richard and I watch as two women meet in front of a cabin to talk for a moment. One holds a baby on her hip, and the other has a little boy of 4 or 5 clinging to her skirts. I shake my head. How could they do this? I wonder out loud to Richard. It must be because no one is allowed to say anything bad about Jamestown in their letters back home, says Richard. I nod. The Virginia Company lies to them about how it is paradise here, and how they will find mountains of gold, and they believe the lies. The little boy sees us and grins around the thumb he has stuck in his mouth. I wonder if he will live through the winter. It is strange for me to be living with the Englishmen again instead of the Warraquoyoacs. Not even Namontack is with us anymore. It is hard to get used to eating only at mealtimes and having my food rationed again. I cut the long side of my hair and go back to wearing English clothes. I keep my bow, arrow, and moccasins in a corner of my cabin, but I still wear the buckskin carrying pouch with my knife inside hanging at my waist. Some nights I dream that I am back in the Warraquoyoac village or hunting with Kainta and Namontak in a quiet, snow-filled forest. It is good to see Anne and John laden again. When I first see Anne, my jaws drop. I think that John must have been giving her all of his food rations along with her own, because she is very big around the middle. Page 188. Richard sees my open mouth and elbows me so that I shut up before Anne sees. "She's going to have a baby," he whispers. I blush at my ignorance. I'm glad Richard warned me before I said something to embarrass her. The ships keep arriving. The rumor is that the Virginia Company is tired of sending a few colonists having most of them die off. So they're sending a lot, and women too, so that even if many die, the colony will still survive. By summer's end, we have nearly 500 colonists to feed and house. We also have horses, cows, goats, ships, more hogs, more chicken, and more dogs and cats. There's hardly room to step without landing on someone's foot, a squawking chicken or a pile of cow dung. We cannot get the houses built fast enough, and we are crammed together almost the way we were on the tween deck of the Susan Constant. Arguments flare up nearly every day. The ships have also brought us back Captain Archer and Captain Radcliffe. They make no secret of the fact that they hate Captain Smith and want to be rid of him. There is a new charter, they say, sent by the Virginia Company. The charter says instead of a president and a council, we will have one governor to rule us. That governor is, for now, Sir Thomas Gates. Then next year, Sir Thomas West, Lord Delaware, will arrive to become our Lord Governor and Captain General. Page 189. Sir Thomas Gates is on his way to Jamestown on the flagship, the Sea Venture. "Step down from your office as president," they order Captain Smith. Captain Smith demands to see this new charter. Captain Radcliffe folds his arms over his chest. "It is on the Sea Venture with Sir Thomas Gates," he says. "You will see it soon enough." But the days go by and the Sea Venture does not arrive. Captain Smith insists he is still our president. Now I see what it means that power is like weights in a balance, and when someone gains power, someone else loses power. This Sir Thomas Gates, our new governor, has gained power, even though he is still somewhere out at sea. And so Captain Smith has lost power. The new colonists do not respect him. When he tries to explain our delicate relationship with the Indians, how we trade and work to keep a fragile peace, they scoff at him. "Those savages will understand the power in a musket. That's all they need to know," they say. The day I see smoke rising over the treetops, I know something has gone terribly wrong. Two of the new settlers come struggling into the fort, dragging wooden clubs, their faces smudged with soot. "Did you see that savage's expression when I lit up his house?" one man asks another. He makes a mock, terrified face and takes a few running steps as if he is escaping something. Page 190. "Ha! And look at this," the other man says. I found it in a house with a bunch of bones, as if the dead man could take it all with them. He pours out the contents of the sack. Necklaces of shiny beads, copper, and tiny beautiful shells go scattering over the ground. I stare in horror. They've robbed the Indians' temples, taken the jewels from the bodies of their dead werowances, set their houses on fire. How many do you think we killed? One is asking the other, holding up his club and examining it. My legs go weak. The club is stained with blood. I don't stay to answer the question, but run to Captain Smith's cabin. My throat is tight with rage, but I choke out the words. The new settlers, I say. They're killing and burning. Captain Smith marches to where the two men are still gloating, telling of their escapades to anyone who will listen. Captain Smith's glowering eyes silence the men at once. He demands to hear it all, and the men sheepishly give a full account. A group of our colonists have burned the natives' houses, stolen from their gardens, robbed valuables from their temples, beat the people with clubs, and shot them with muskets. The natives have become furious and killed some of our colonists, and so the Englishmen feel they have the right to do more killing and burning and stealing. I want to shout at them, how could they do this? Page 191. They don't care that the natives have saved us from starvation over and over again. They don't care that Chief Powhatan himself saved us from freezing and hunger when all our houses burned. They have no heart, only pride and a feeling that they are superior. They say the natives are savages, but in truth these ignorant Englishmen are the savages. Captain Smith is as angry as I am. Are you trying to start an all-out war with the natives, he shouts? With 10,000 of them and a few hundred of us? Are you insane? I can see it in his eyes, the fury and the rage. He wants to punch something, beat someone's face in, punish the men who have done this. Then I see him do the same thing he did so long ago on the ship, the day Master Wingfield ordered him arrested. He narrows his eyes. He must be focusing his anger, I think. He's devising a plan to try to change all of this. I will go up the river and talk to the tribes these men have wronged, he says. I will work to make peace again. If I do not, it could be the end of our settlement. Captain Smith gathers a few men to sail upriver with him in the shallop. He chooses several men who have been here since the beginning. Then two of the new settlers, both gentlemen, telling him how much they want to help make peace with the Powhatan. They badger Captain Smith to take them along, and finally he relents. Page 192. I think these two gentlemen just want to get away from our crowded fort and go exploring. Then a new thought strikes me. What if they are not just bored young men who want an adventure? What if they are under the influence of Captain Radcliffe, Captain Archer, and the others who hate Captain Smith? What if they plan to do him harm? The morning they leave, I watch the shallop sail away. There are six of them in the boat, and I am glad to see that three of the men are Captain Smith's trusted friends. Still, the uneasy feeling does not leave me.